Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I wonder what that means. Well, they say the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And the way to study Scripture is in the light of its immediate context. Study every verse in the light of the chapter with the whole book, and that book with the rest of the books of the Bible. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, we read this concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6:14, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his own time he shall show who is that blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, unapproachable, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power eternal. Now, if you want to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, you think of those verses when you go home and those wonderful statements. And as I've said so many times, I presume you know, the Seventh-day Adventists and the Russellites and the Christian Scientists and all of these false religions speak of our Savior as Jesus. Now the Apostle Paul gave him the title that was given to him by the risen Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherever you speak of him, give him his full title. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his time, he will show who is that King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the blessed potentate. Now we have a picture of that in the first chapter of the last book of the Bible. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord Jesus Christ, more than 50 years after he was raised from the dead, appeared to John. And notice what he said here. In the 17th verse, he said, John, fear not. I am the first and the last. Now, what did the Lord Jesus Christ mean by saying, I am the first and the last? The living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. This is the one who showed himself alive by many infallible truths after his death and resurrection. He met two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. And after talking with them for a little while, he was unknown to them. Afterwards, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way? And he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written. Ought not Christ have suffered and entered into his glory, and beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the things concerning himself. I said to the class on Wednesday night, would you like to know exactly what the Lord said to those two? Moses wrote Genesis, and the last book was Malachi, 39 books. How much of all of that the Lord expounded unto them on that journey, we do not know. But if you want to get it all, you go home and read from the first of Genesis to the last of Malachi, and you'll have it all included. And the wonderful prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the form of God. He thought it not a thing to be grasped after, to be on the equality with God. He emptied himself. What does it mean that the Lord Jesus Christ emptied himself? He made himself of no reputation. He was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and then God highly exalted him. Now he was in the form of God. Then he took upon himself the form of man. He said, I came down from heaven. A body hast thou prepared for me. For when it was proved that the blood of animals could never take away sin, and by man came death, and by man must come the resurrection of the dead, the Lord Jesus said, Lo, I come, as it is written in the volume of the book of me, I come to do thy will, O God, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I came down from heaven. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When the Jews in the 8th chapter of John, the religious leaders of the day, would not believe the report, they fulfilled the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, Who hath believed our report? They wouldn't believe the report that Christ said, He that has seen me hath seen the Father. So they took up stones to stone him. He says, Many good works have I done. For which good work do you stone me? They said, Not for a good work, but for blasphemy. For thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now there were two sins and two crimes from which there was no escape from capital punishment, which was stoning by Israel. The two sins were murder, first degree, and blasphemy. Barabbas was a first degree murderer, and that middle cross was erected for Barabbas. Barabbas means the Son of the Father. Jesus Christ was the Son of the Father. And because a blasphemer was a greater sinner than a murderer, the Jews said he was a blasphemer, and they released Barabbas. And they nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. And I want to say to you, as I've said many times, Jesus Christ was either the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, sinless God, the creator of the universe, or he was the greatest imposter this world's ever known. There's no middle ground of position, no middle ground position that we can take. All the way through the Bible, you have the fact that Jesus Christ was God before he became man. That he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when the Jews rejected him, he said to them, when they said, Abraham is our father, we're not born of fornication. We have two fathers, Abraham and God. But we don't receive you as the Son of God. He said to them, Ye are of your father the devil. And anyone who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as eternal God in human form is not a Christian. He is of the devil. And there are millions of them in them as members of the church all over this country and all over the world. He said, Before Abraham was, I am. And if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sin. John 8:24. Now you think of that. There are people today that tell us it isn't very important what we believe. Don't care about your dogmas and your creeds. It's what we do. Well, I want to say this to you, that God never recognizes or rewards anything that the most religious, consecrated, devout person does until that person first receives the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. When those religious Jews came to the Lord in John 6:29, They said, what can we do to do the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. There's no use of ever doing one good deed, any religious ceremony, any philanthropy, if you expect to be rewarded. Never expect any reward from God until you first acknowledge that you're a hell-deserving, lost, condemned, ruined sinner, and come by faith to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. Suppose you'd live back there. Jesus Christ didn't come with a halo. He was not only made a human being, but he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And when people saw him, they didn't say, isn't this Almighty God? They said, isn't this Joseph the carpenter's son? The son of Joseph the carpenter? He had no halo. He had no form nor comeliness. And as I've said to our people so many times, in 836 was the first picture that was ever made of Jesus Christ. I do not believe in pictures of Jesus Christ, either as an infant or as an adult. We're living in the day of grace when we're not to know him after the flesh, and that's what today has deceived so many people. Tonight, in the meeting, I want to speak on the Lord Jesus Christ up in heaven and what he's been looking at down on earth for the last week. So I hope you'll come, because he's a living, glorified man at God's right hand. He knows everything that's going on this earth, and he knows every secret of your soul and mind and heart. And he's looking down upon the scenes on this earth. He's a living, glorified man at God's right hand. Now, we read this in the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, a very interesting statement here in Hebrews 8. Now, of the things which we have been saying, the chief point is, we have such a high priest who is seated on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. If there isn't a glorified man at God's right hand, Christianity is only a superstition. Paul says, if Christ hath not been raised from the dead, let's eat and drink and be merry. Let's don't suffer as Christians. Let's don't baptize any new converts for the dead. For tomorrow we die, we're just like the dog. If there isn't a glorified man at God's right hand, in all this Christmas you've heard about a little babe in a manger and a man on a crucifix, but you haven't heard anything about the glorified man at God's right hand. And there isn't any gospel without the resurrection of the Son of God. Then he said, now has Christ been raised from the dead, and he has become the firstfruits of them that slept. When our bodies are suddenly changed at the rapture of the church, our bodies are going to be fashioned like unto his body of glory, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. And he's the first fruits, and we're going to have a body just like he had, and the last body we know of that he had, he said, touch me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And they saw a real man go from the Mount of Olives, and he went home to glory, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And in the closing verses of the first chapter of Ephesians, it says that God, he sat down at the right hand, and there he is in the presence of God as a man who is the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the filling up of him that filleth all in all. He's going to fill all in all, and every knee on this earth and under the earth and every tongue is yet going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now remember what God says in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord divine except by the Holy Spirit. People can join with John the Baptist, who said, when Christ said, whom do men say that I am? And some said that speaking to Peter, he said, Peter said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're one of the prophets raised from the dead. And today we hear people who claim to be Christians who say, I cannot accept the story of the virgin birth of Christ. I cannot accept his bodily resurrection. I believe he was the best man that ever trod the globe, the master product of evolution, the greatest religious reformer the world's ever known, but I can't go any further with you. I can't agree that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Then, my dear friend, if Jesus Christ was born as a child of a father, he inherited sin. And if he was a sinner, he could not communicate grace. He had to be sinless. And the only way you can have a sinless Christ is to have a Holy Spirit conception and a virgin birth. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Paul was the best religious man that ever lived, and he says, I know that in me there dwelleth no good thing. And when I do not do that which is right, or when I do that which is wrong, it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You and I were cursed in our natural birth with a malady that's known as indwelling sin. And God doesn't hold you responsible for that in the final analysis. You didn't ask to be born into this world. Nobody consulted you, and you were conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity, and you came into this world as a sinner. And when you grew up and found the Ten Commandments, and you struggled with them for a while, perhaps you cried out with the Apostle Paul, Oh, wretched man that I am! I thought this law was ordained unto life, but it's ordained unto death. The commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And he found out the Ten Commandments was the ministration of death. What could he do? Oh, he said, thank God. I turned away from Sinai to Calvary. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found that when the Savior died on that cross, he not only put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, not only did he become the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, for cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them, he died to deliver us from the curse of the law. And he established a new law that's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that law did for the Apostle Paul that which is done for every believing sinner. It delivers us from the law of sin and death. It delivers us from the wrath to come. And the only way you can ever be delivered from the wrath to come is by faith in the wrath of God visited upon the Son of God, as our brother Warden prayed. A lot of people object to that, that God should visit his wrath upon his Son. Well, I want to tell you that the Son voluntarily took that. He was God. He had that prerogative. And he says, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? For this cause came I unto this hour. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. And he was made to die on the cross. When he died, his death was neither premature nor accidental. He was not a martyr who came to an untimely end. The time of his death was fixed before Adam ever sinned. He was the spotless Lamb of God. Now in Hebrews we read this. And the people that read Hebrews, I remember in 1937, I was preaching for 6 weeks in Southern California, and I saw in the city of Los Angeles about 40 little red cars, Fords, and every one of them had Hebrews 13:8 on it. And they were all sent out from the Angelus Temple by Mrs. McPherson. And 13:8 is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Mrs. McPherson should have put down what many should today. They should have put down 13:9 along with it. If you want to understand 13:8, you read 13:9.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, be not carried away by divers and strange teachings. For it is a good thing that the heart be established in grace. Now take the two together. We say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read in Romans 15:8 that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to fulfill prophecy. Now I want to say that over again, and I want to emphasize was. Jesus Christ was a minister of the Jews to fulfill prophecy. Now I'm going to take away the word was and put is there. Jesus Christ is the minister of the circumcision, fulfilling prophecy. Now anybody, a babe in Christ, ought to begin to understand the Bible, but as I said, and I want to repeat many times, I said it to a man yesterday, he said, I believe it, he's teaching a Sunday school class. I said, 88% of the Christians who are really saved do not know who lived first, Abraham or Moses. 94% of the Christians cannot name the 12 apostles. The ignorance of God's word in this land of Bibles under the Bill of Rights is appalling. And I've said to the young men, if you learn your Bible, you won't have any competition. I've heard preachers preach. I heard one of the most eloquent men preach out in Colorado Springs. When it went out, people just said, my, what wonderful. He never used but one verse of Scripture and he misquoted that. My, but it was eloquent. Then I'm reminded of what the Swedish man told me out at Kingsburg. They are only 1,800 population. They had 2,100 in their Sunday school. How do you get that? They came from the grape ranches around in the town. I taught there for 10 days, and when I got through, there was a man from Sweden. He spoke very broken, but he said this to me. He says, since you've been here, I've been tink. I said, what you been tink? He said, I've been thinking that the church needs less preach and more teach. I've been thinking that a long time. Preaching without knowing the Word of God. It isn't my business to get up here and tell you how to behave and what to do and what to do this. Why, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against. You can't keep pouring in and say, don't do this and don't do the other thing. What we're trying to get you to do is to get the Word of God and let the Word of God that's infallible and the infallible Holy Spirit lead and direct you. Now you know that Jesus Christ is not now fulfilling Scripture. Where is Jesus Christ? He's up in heaven. He's up there as the head of the body. And the Lord Jesus Christ on earth never said one word about the body. He never said anything about being the head in glory in a parenthetical period. And from Genesis to Malachi, you'll never find one word that Jesus Christ would be doing what he's doing now. But you will find 1,000 scriptures that he would do what he did do when he was on earth. Now Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever so far as being the eternal God. Self-existent and co-existent and pre-existent. But Christ as the eternal God changes his form and he changes his ministry. When we read that no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Well, being in the bosom of the Father, did that mean before he came to earth or since he went back? What is the difference between Jesus Christ before he became a babe in Bethlehem and what he's doing now? What's the difference? He was in heaven then, he's in heaven now. But there he was in heaven as a God, now he's in heaven as a God-man. And his ministry is entirely different. Now what he did on earth, every step he took was that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He was in the midst of the Jews and he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You can quote that 1,000 times to a Christian. and they won't believe it. They say, I take the whole Bible, so do I. But the whole Bible isn't written about the church. 9/10 of the Bible is written about the prophesied kingdom and not about the unprophesied church. And unless you learn the difference between Jesus Christ in a kingdom setting in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in a kingdom setting on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the death and resurrection of Christ, but he had him in a kingdom setting. Had nothing to do with the grace setting. Paul was given a revelation to present Jesus Christ in a grace setting. And if you take the message of Peter on the day of Pentecost and bring it over to Ephesians, you'll frustrate the grace of God just as much as you bring the Ten Commandments and the law over into the dispensation of grace. Until you and I learn the great difference between the gospel before the fall of Israel and after the fall of Israel, we'll certainly be workmen that need to be ashamed, and we'll be described in Ephesians 4:14 as children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness of those that lie in wait to deceive you. Like those poor, poor Corinthians. After years in the church, Paul said, I'm sorry, I can't teach you any of the strong meat of the Word of God. You've been Christians for years, but I still have to give you the milk of the Word because you're just like babes in Christ. And their great sin was sectarianism. Paul, one says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter, I am of Christ. Now then, there were four sects back there. There are 280 recognized sects in the United States today. And everybody's trying to force the Bible to agree with their sectarian creed and their religious program. And they can't be Bereans. How can you be a Berean if you must force the Bible to agree with your sectarian interpretation? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is now in glory. He's coming back. When he comes back, he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to be the Prince of Peace. And he's going to sit on the throne of David, and the government's going to be put on his shoulder. The UN can bring you nothing but confusion and disaster. You can't have any peace on this earth where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is left out.